Morning, everyone. The Early Learning and Elementary Education Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn on your microphone for the roll call. Kirsten, please call the roll.
Chair Lupus.
Here.
Vice Chair Coster.
Here.
Ranking Member Davis.
Here.
Representative Caruso.
Here.
Representative DeSegli.
Here.
Representative Duggan. Representative Hawkins.
Here.
Representative Hunchowski.
Here.
Representative LaMarca.
Here.
Representative Learned.
Here.
Representative McCurdy.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Nixon.
Here.
Representative Roach.
Present.
Representative Rodriguez.
Present.
Representative Trabulsi.
Here.
Representative Trunow.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Kirsten. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Members, as always, please remember to silence all electronic devices and be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters. Members, Happy New Year 2022. If you want to join me in my challenge of seeing how long into the new year we can say Happy New Year, I invite you. Today we have three bills on our agenda, and we are going to begin with the Representative Plasencia, HB 235, Restraint of Students with Disabilities in Public Schools. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This House bill revises the requirements relating to the use of mechanical and physical restraint. The bill prohibits who may use mechanical restraints in the exercise of their duties to restrain students in grades 6 through 12 to school resource officers, school safety officers, school guardians, or school security guards. Devices prescribed or recommended by physical or behavioral health professionals may still be used for their indicated purposes. Authorized school personnel are still permitted to use appropriate physical restraint as permitted by existing law. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions of the bill sponsor? Representative Caruso, you recognize.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, Chair. Representative, love the bill. What circumstances prompted it?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last year, we had this language in the seclusion restraints bill that passed and passed into law. At the last minute, this language was removed from that bill. And so the bill sponsors last year, which was Representative DeBose in the House and Representative Book in the Senate, had made promises that we would bring this language back and make sure we try to get it passed this year. So what prompted this language, this bill to be filed this year, is the removal of this language from last year's bill and the understanding that it was still a problem for our families. And we want to make sure that no parent sends their child to school and the child comes home with bruises or the child comes home with some kind of distress because of something that could have been avoided.
Okay, thank you.
Ranking Member Davis, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Plasencia. You answered some of the question with your first answer, so I'll go to the second question. It's identified that these mechanical restraints are allowed by certain school personnel on students grades 6 to 12. Is there a specific reason why we identified those grades?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, so obviously the younger the child, the smaller they are. And so you have the ability to, you know, as you know, a small child, you're a larger adult, it's easier to use the right, the appropriate methods of making sure that they don't harm anyone else or harm themselves. As a child gets larger, it becomes a little bit more challenging. And so we wanted to make sure there was flexibility so that they can appropriately deal with children at the right developmental age.
Follow up? You're recognized. You're good. Okay, you're good. Representative Roach for question.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for bringing the bill. I wanted to ask you a question, and this relates to this incident that happened in Brevard County. I think it was Brevard County with a young woman named Sophia Steele, who was nonverbal Down syndrome. But the way we're defining restraints, would this prohibit a school administrator from forcibly tying a mask onto a student?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roach, my understanding, and I have a pretty good understanding of what happened in Brevard County. It's part of my delegation. I have a great relationship with Brevard County Public Schools. And I was involved fairly intimately in trying to understand what happened with the little girl in our school district. I've seen all the evidence. What happened with the little girl and what they did was ADA prescribed. And so that little girl had a nice little bow tie tied around her mask, a mask which her parents had no objection to for days before they finally had objections to it. She was under no distress, and it was ADA compliant. It was actually the way you were being instructed to apply a mask to a child with her disabilities.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
Thank you for that. Clearly, you have more detail on the event that I do. But that's case aside, then, would this bill prohibit an administrator from tying a mask onto a child? Or would that fall under this bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't believe it would. Tying a mask onto a child, if it's done in an illegal manner, does not constitute restraint because the child is not acting out in some type of outburst that is harming themselves or someone else. Typically, when you're restraining a child with disabilities, it's because they're having an episode. And in that episode, they can elope, go out into the street, run into the street, or they may be banging their head against a computer screen or banging their head against a wall. They may be biting themselves or biting others. There are responses that certain children with disabilities have that can be very violent. And that's when the appropriate training comes in and the appropriate restraints come in to make sure that that child is not hurting themselves or someone else. The usage of a mask would not require that because the child is not having an episode. The child is for whatever reason, whether it's a sensory issue, refusing to place something on their body. And those are two entirely different things.
Representative Terwell, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair. Happy New Year. Can you please explain to me what a mechanical device is?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I am not an expert at mechanical devices. I do know some of them. I don't know the actual name. I think one's called a taco. And we do have somebody from Disability Rights of Florida that can explain that, and she will actually come up in public testimony. So hopefully she can answer that question for you and elaborate on it. But I know that it's kind of like a taco shell that forms over the child, and it restrains them so that they can't move. You can put a straitjacket on a child. You can put handcuffs on a child. And then I'm sure those are the ones I've heard of. I'm sure that there's others that she can explain to you. You're welcome.
Members, any further questions? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move into public testimony. Caitlin Klibben from Disability Rights Florida. Morning, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Caitlin Klibben. I'm with Disability Rights Florida. I'm a public policy analyst. And thank you, Chair Lupus, for hearing this bill and members of the committee. I just wanted to talk about why this bill is important. Using mechanical restraints on children is traumatic. It's harmful. You know, our organization represents many people with disabilities across the state, and we get calls about this all the time, about the effects on the child after this has happened to them. It's very scary for them. A lot of them don't understand what's happening. They no longer trust their teacher or school. It can hold them back educationally, their ability to, you know, go to school and actually learn because they're in fear at school. And it can cause, you know, PTSD, things like that. It's very, very harmful and traumatic to kids. And in this state, the data shows that over the last few years, about half at least of the restraints that are used on kids in public schools are on kids in third grade or lower. So we're talking about very small kids that this is happening to. And also some of these restraints are lasting for up to or more than an hour that these kids are being restrained. And, you know, just to be clear and to address some of the questions up top, you know, mechanical restraint in the statute is defined as a device that restricts freedom of movement. So it includes handcuffs, zip ties, straitjackets, the types that are specified in the statute. It also includes things like wrap mats, which is the taco that Representative Placencia mentioned. So any device that restricts freedom of movement would be included in that. However, I will say that last year's bill, HB 149, which was like a really great step forward, it did include some definitions that made clear that mechanical restraint does not include any sort of assistive devices. So a device that has been prescribed or recommended by a physician or a behavioral health specialist is not included in this, is not touched by this. Those will all still be able to be used as recommended by the physician or by the behavioral health provider. So last year's bill also helped us get to where we are today by including more training for positive behavioral interventions and supports for teachers. So making sure that they have the tools that they need to safely manage the kids in their classroom without having to resort to these devices that can cause this very unnecessary trauma to our children. And I've been looking at the data as far as mechanical restraints over the last several years, and it's not a huge number of kids, but you know, this year, from the data that we have so far, between August and November, 59 kids in Florida had mechanical restraints used on them at schools. So this is still happening, but I will say that it's only happening in a small subset of districts. So this year, in our numbers that we have just so far, only 17 districts used any sort of mechanical restraint at any point, meaning 50 of our 67 school districts have figured out how to successfully educate their kids, keep their teachers safe, keep the other students safe without having to resort to the use of mechanical restraint. So this is something we can do. We don't have to do this to our kids, and we've already proven that ourselves, that we don't have to do this to our kids. Disability Rights Florida wholeheartedly supports this bill, and we hope you all do the same.
Thank you, Ms. Clement. If you don't mind, we have one question from Representative Tribolsi. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chair Lupus. Thank you for being here today and explaining that. And I know it takes a lot of courage to get up here, and you have a lot of dedication towards these children. I don't think that anybody wants to restrain a child. And from what I understand, this bill is really directed towards children that are a threat to themselves or maybe someone else. So with approved mechanical devices, could it be possible that actually may, even though there may be some trauma, there could also be trauma if they hurt themselves or someone else too, it could even be further trauma or harm.
You recognize.
Excuse me, yes, thank you. Yes, I hear what you're saying. And you know, that's one of the good things about this bill is it makes sure that law enforcement can still use handcuffs and exercise of their duties if there's a true threat, you know, Lord forbid there was a school shooter or something, they can absolutely restrain those kids and make sure that everyone else is safe. But in the context of a classroom, in the context of a behavioral issue, because it's a manifestation of that child's disability, you know, not the kind of threat that I think you're envisioning and that I'm talking about, that's why last year's bill was so great, giving them the positive behavior interventions and support training to the teachers in the districts to make sure that they have these other tools to use before the kid escalates to that point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Clement. Oh, my apologies. There are a lot of questions for you. Right. Ranking Member Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I think you are the person that probably can answer this. With the SRO intervention, what happens or what is a consequence, if you know it, if the situation cannot be de-escalated?
You recognize.
Thank you. I don't know that I'm 100% the best expert to speak on exactly what would happen in a school in that kind of situation. Just based on the examples that I've seen, you know, if a kid escalates to the point where they're actually being physically violent, you know, now we're talking about something else. We're talking about a crime, possibly a crime. And there are other ways to intervene in that. This bill is really limited to kind of behavioral interventions for students with disabilities.
Thank you, Mrs. Clement.
Thank you.
Our next speaker, Tracy Strecker from Florida PTA. Waving in support. Thank you, Ms. Strecker. So, members, that concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, members and President Plasencia, I'm going to be up on the bill. I would like to talk with you at some point. I'm reading the bill a little bit closer. But, you know, I have a school in my district called the Buckingham Exceptional School for Children with Disabilities. I've visited there several times, and I just want to make sure that that the legal language here would not do anything to prevent prevent teachers from using, I mean, so some of these children have wheelchairs and they're strapped into the wheelchair to keep them from falling out. I just want to make sure that we're not using too broad of a brush to paint this, and that we do have the adequate legal exceptions to prevent litigation for instances like that that are well-intended and habitual use. So look forward to chatting with you, or maybe learning more about the bill that will help me get there. But I'm up on the bill. Thank you.
Members, any other debate? Representative Honchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Plasencia, I just want to thank you very much for bringing this bill forward. It was a promise made last session, and I want to thank you for your advocacy on this. So thank you very much.
Any further? Representative Tribolsi, you're recognized.
Thank you, and a happy new year again. Representative Plasencia, thanks for answering my questions this morning. And I know if there's anybody in the Florida House that really cares about kids, it's you. And I appreciate you taking the lift on this, and I will be up on it.
Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
I was not going to say anything, but being a teacher, former special education teacher, I couldn't let this opportunity go. Have been in these situations myself personally where you have to restrain a child. And when you are dealing with students with special needs, they are stronger at certain times. So I completely understand the need for this bill and why you brought it forward. Just making sure that it's clear, its intent and its purpose. But it's unfortunate that we're here, because sometimes we just shouldn't have to legislate common sense. Mm-hmm. And in situations like this, when you're dealing with students with special needs, that's what it takes. Common sense, passion, and patience. Been there, done that. So thank you again for this bill. It's a great job.
All right, members. Seeing no further debate, Representative Plasencia, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I think the difficult part of trying to understand a bill like this is when there's a lack of understanding of what a child with disabilities, especially developmental disabilities, what their world is like. And I was a teacher for 15 years, and I taught typical children. I was a social studies teacher. So I didn't have a lot of exposure to these kids. But I taught at a school that we had a magnet for children with varying disabilities. And so our school had the range, the spectrum of children with disabilities, and I was exposed to them, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't really and truly understand this until our nephew was diagnosed with autism. And just watching what his grandparents go through, because they're the caretaker, and understanding he's very low functioning. And so he's nonverbal. He can be violent, although he's a tiny little kid. And we have another nephew who's a big, big, lovable giant. So there's a spectrum of those as well. But watching what his grandparents go through, and having seen the impacts that the right behavioral therapies can mean for these children and these families. And when the schools implement the right trainings for their instructors and for their paraprofessionals, and when they allow for the therapist to be a part of that holistic care for that child, seeing that has made a huge difference in his life and children all over our state and all over our country. But these bills that we bring forward, this bill this year, the bill we had last year, which was incredible, what it does is it brings us closer to making sure that all children have the ability to be successful as they grow, have the ability to learn, and have the ability to live a life of independence. Because even your most severe children with developmental disabilities, with the right modifications, with the right behavior training, have the ability with resources from the state to one day be somewhat independent. And so this is a bill that we're very passionate about, and I appreciate everyone's support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Coster. Lamarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chiralubis.
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays. The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, HB 235 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Plasencia. Okay, members, we are now moving on to HB 859 by our very own Representative Williams, Reading Achievement Initiative for Scholastic Excellence. Representative Williams, you are recognized to explain the bill from your desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to start out by saying happy Founders Day to all my sorority sisters of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. This is our Founders Day, and our colors are red, so that's why I am in red today. HB 859, this bill will increase the opportunity for learning improvement for elementary school students who have struggled and is struggling with a reading disability in class. This will be to prevent them from failing or falling far behind. We know that this is desperately needed due to the learning slope that we are in because of extraordinary circumstances of coronavirus and the pandemic. 859 is a small but important step toward better supporting our students who need assistance outside of the classroom to improve their reading skills and comprehension skills and shape them to the learning experience of the year. This bill helps elementary school students with their learning, reading, while also providing enrichment experience for high school students who will be able to tutor them and also be able to use their unpaid hours toward Florida higher education standards for learning and service. Mr. Chair, that's the bill.
Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Williams, you have an amendment?
Yes, sir.
Representative Williams, you are recognized to explain Amendment 1, barcode 452765.
The amendment will clarify the unpaid hours of tutoring may be used toward community service hours or high school graduation hours for Florida Bright Future Scholarship Program. That's the First Amendment, Mr.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, with the amendment, how many student hours, credit hours, would they get going towards their diploma for putting in 100 hours of tutoring?
Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
All of those technical issues and information has to be followed by the rules that's already laid out. We're not changing any of those rules, and it would be determined by the school that they are attending, the high school student.
Follow up?
You recognize?
If they receive credit hours or they receive hours towards their service hours, they don't receive any, they cannot receive a stipend, correct?
You recognize?
Mr. Chair?
No further, thank you.
Yep. Representative Williams, did you answer the question?
No.
No.
Okay. Oh, he has a question.
Representative Caruso, did you get the answer? Okay, fantastic. Sorry, I didn't hear. Members, any other questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we are back. Show the amendment adopted. Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. We have one public testimony, Chadwick Leonard from Florida Education Association, waving in support. Members, is there debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Williams, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Mr. Chair, before I close, I would like to state that we know we have a shortage in teachers in Florida. I'm hoping that this is an opportunity that our students will have hands-on experience, working hand-in-hand with a certified teacher while they are learning the opportunity and understand that this could be lead them into the career of becoming a teacher themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I close.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Representative Williams, having closed on her bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Koster. LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chair Lubis.
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays. The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, HB 859 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, we're on our final bill of the committee. Again, from our own team, Representative Hanshofsky, HB 899, Mental Health of Students. Representative Hanshofsky, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair, and Happy New Year. Good morning, Chair Lupus, Vice Chair Koster, Ranking Member Davis, and subcommittee members, and thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 899, Mental Health of Students. And I personally also want to thank Tony Montalto from Stand With Parkland, who is here and who worked with me on this bill. This is a good bill that provides that when a student is receiving mental health services through the schools, that their family and their household members are made aware of other behavioral health services that are available at the school and also any community-based mental health and behavioral health services. So this will help both the student and their family get the care they need. That is the bill, and I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have public testimony. Beginning Tony Montalto, Stand With Parkland. You're recognized, sir.
Good morning, Chair Lupus, and members of the House Early Learning and Elementary Education Committee. I am here to speak in favor of HB 899. I'm the president of Stand With Parkland, the National Association of Families for Safe Schools, a school safety group founded by families who lost loved ones and were murdered that day in Parkland. That day, my kind, compassionate, bright and bubbly 14-year-old daughter was shot in the hallway outside her classroom. 13 other students and 3 staff members were killed. 17 others were injured, and our community was devastated. I urge all of you to vote in favor of HB 899, because when it becomes law, this will continue the process of helping to make Florida's schools safer for students and teachers alike. The genesis of this bill was a meeting in Parkland with Chair Latvala from the House Education Committee, Chair Gruders from the Senate Education Committee, Sheriff Gualtieri, Chair of the MSD Commission, as well as Stand With Parkland members Debbie Hickson, Annika Dorette, myself, and my wife, Jennifer. We reviewed the work of the MSD Public Safety Commission that was tasked to investigate the Parkland shooting and make recommendations to the governor and this legislature for systemic improvements to help keep teachers and students safe. Stand With Parkland then turned to our former mayor and current representative, Christine Hanshofsky, for help. She sought to solve these issues by drafting HB 899, which contains some of the remaining recommendations that need to become state law. It will require charter schools to comply with reporting requirements, as well as mandate the Department of Education to share data with the number of students who are subject to Baker Act with the Department of Children and Families. Timely aid to Florida students will help them. And this bill places maximum time limits on the students who are referred to mental health services before they begin. Additionally, parents of these children must be provided with additional information regarding other services that are available through the school or the community. HB 899 looks at the other individuals in a student's household and ensures they are notified about other behavioral services which they may qualify. Such services would certainly benefit the student's well-being. The MSD investigation has shown there is no single path to keeping our students safe. Connecting individuals who need help with the services that are available will help improve the environment for students and put them on a path to a favorable outcome, as well as help prevent another tragedy like the Parkland Massacre. Finally, I would like to thank Representative Humchowski for her leadership on mental health reform in Florida and her work on HB 99. Chairman Alupis, thank you and the other members of the committee for allowing me to speak in favor of HB 899. Please vote yes on this bill and help Florida continue to lead the nation by increasing the safety of our students at school.
Representative Caruso.
I just want to say how sorry I am for your loss and the loss to the community in Parkland. And thank you for working on this legacy on behalf of your daughter and working towards helping the children that go on thereafter that tragedy. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Montalta. You and I have had the opportunity to get to know each other quite well, and I think I speak on behalf of the entire committee. We are truly grateful for everything that you've done to help shepherd these bills. So thank you, sir. Caitlin Klibben from Disability Rights of Florida. Waving in support, thank you. Natalie Kelly, Florida Association of Managing Entities. Waving in support. And Tracy Strecker, Florida PTA. Waving support, thank you, Ms. Strecker. Members, that concludes public testimony. Is there debate on the bill? Representative Hunchowski, I would just say that I'm truly grateful for your leadership from the experience and the leadership you showed all of us in Parkland and what you brought to the legislature. Thank you for continuing this journey and ensuring that everything we do is to keep our students safe. So thank you. So Representative Hunchowski, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you very much, Chair Alupis. This is a very personal issue to me. I want to thank my dear friend, Tony Montalto, for being here. I want to thank him for his advocacy, for taking what is one of the worst things that could happen to anyone and deciding that he doesn't want that to happen to anyone else's family. That takes a special person and a special commitment to be able to do that. And that is one of the, it is an example of the amazing people we have in this world who take their pain and turn it into purpose. And I just want to thank you for that, Tony. I want to thank all who've advocated for this. I want to thank you very much, Chair Alupis, for putting this on the agenda. And I want to thank all of my colleagues who have been supportive of the work we're doing on mental health and keeping our schools and our communities safe. From the moment I stepped into this legislative body, I have had nothing but wonderful support. And I appreciate all of you beyond measure for that, because when it's personal, it means even more. And with that, I would appreciate your support once again on this bill, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Hunchowski. Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hunchowski.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Tribolsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chair Alupis.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays. The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, HB 899 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Hunchowski. So members, that brings us to the end of our agenda. And for all of those who wish me a happy new year, you will have a small gift in your office. For those of you who didn't, better luck next time. Yeah, time has already passed, Representative McCurdy.
Happy new year, sorry.
Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Learned moves we rise.